Welcome in to another episode of Home Field Advantage. Hope you're all having a great week wherever you may be, or maybe listening to this podcast across our great country or our great land. My name is Will Highland. It's October 12th. Scratch that. October 19th, 2023. Looking at the wrong Thursday here. And we're going to have another short show. That's sort of been my MO the last few weeks, to do a couple short shows a week rather than one long show. That way I can touch on all of the new topics in the world of sports and entertainment. We're going to talk some football to begin, then maybe some baseball, hockey if I have time, and then at the end of the show, I have a little bit of a fun closing idea that's non-sports related. All right, so where do we begin? All right. The news of the week has really revolved around the NFL, as it typically does, right? Even though the NHL has began and the MLB playoffs are in full swing, we've got the League Championship Series going on, you have the situation with the NBA getting ready to start and whatnot and all of these things. But the number one storyline in the world of sports, and particularly pro sports, is that the NFL is always going to be the dominant storyline at this time of year. And I love October. October's a great sports month. You know, if you think about it, you've got all those things I just mentioned. Plus, you have college football. A few weeks ago, we had the Ryder Cup. Although, sometimes that's in September. But, you know, it's one of those months where a lot of stuff just happens to coincide together. And it's really interesting. So, without like going off on a tangent about that, the big news story from yesterday, and maybe not a news story, you know, maybe it was more like a talking point, was that Caleb Williams, who is widely considered to be the favorite to be drafted number one overall, has said that he wants a stake of ownership in order to play. Like, the team he wants to go to needs to give him or the team that drafts him needs to give him a stake of ownership if he's going to sign. All right, so let's unpack that for a second. there's so much going on here. I'm wondering, like, how much of this is even, like, a legitimate report. You know, the first place I saw it from was Barstool. Now, I'm not going to pretend that that's a reputable sports hype. But you did see Michael Lombardi tweeted out, Big Cat, who, again, works for Barstool. He was talking about it. You know, Dan Patrick, I think, talked about it for a little bit. But it's, at this point, it is sort of just rumors. But that's sort of what made it a news story, is that And, you know, what makes it even funnier is that you know, Adam Schefter, I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. I'm trying to talk about this in a manner that's not too speculative, considering it was mostly rumors. I did, you know, reveal it as a news story, but I was just looking through my sources, and it's not really like confirm that he said it, but based on what I know about this dude, I believe it. And look, like, What makes it funnier is that Adam Schefter tweeted that Mahomes was looking for NFL ownership stake. Then there's the whole thing about Tom Brady and his NFL ownership stake. And I think we've entered an era of sports where the players want to be more than players, right? Like, first, it was, well, the players want to have a platform to discuss what they believe. Okay, all right, you've got your platform. You've got millions of social media followers in some cases. You know, we see this with Micah Parsons. It's not enough for him to be, like, probably the best defensive player in the league at this moment. He has to have a podcast on the side where he constantly throws shade at his opponents. It's not enough for Caleb Williams to be probably the most privileged college quarterback that exists, that has ever existed in the NCAA, because his meteoric rise to fame coincides with the introduction of NIL and the transfer portal. Like, nobody has benefited more already from the system that has been created in college football than Caleb Williams. So it's not enough for him to be able to have transferred to USC and join his head coach and play in Southern California and basically be a celebrity at the age of, what, 21, 22? It's not enough for him to have been able to achieve things at the collegiate level, winning a Heisman Trophy that only, you know, several dozen players ever have ever achieved. And, you know, also, it's not enough for him to be the consensus at this point, despite throwing three picks against Notre Dame. It's not enough for him to be considered the consensus number one overall pick in the draft. He now has to have ownership in a team before he even is drafted. Like, while he's, you know, going through the draft process. Plus, he has teams over a barrel. Depending on what the draft order is, he might not even declare. This is why I keep telling Patriots fans, do not tank for Caleb Williams, because if you end up with the number one overall pick, then he could look at you and say, "Yeah, I'm not going to sign. I'm going to stay at USC," or he'll pull an Eli Manning. So this dude has already, like, leveraged himself and had so much privilege and opportunity, and I understand those aren't the same thing. He has, I mean, don't get me wrong, he has incredible talent. But at this point, we've entered a new era of sports where it's not, you don't necessarily have to earn your success. And I know I sound like an old man yelling at the clouds, telling kids to get off his lawn. But think about it for a moment. Joe Montana never asked for ownership of the San Francisco 49ers. Michael Jordan became an owner of the Charlotte Hornets after he was done playing basketball. And that was more about just him being really freaking rich. Tom Brady is struggling to get ownership of, or at least a small sliver of, the Las Vegas Raiders, because the league understands how valuable its commodities and its teams are and doesn't want to sell them for under market value. Meanwhile, Mahomes, another guy, look, the dude is very accomplished, but, like, at what point do you just look at this and say, guys, like, Wayne Gretzky makes it as a broadcaster now. Like, he doesn't need to do that. He could, I believe he was involved in ownership or management with the Coyotes at one point. But, I mean, he is just a, you know, normal broadcaster, lives his life now. You know, we just live in a different era of athletes, where the most important thing to them might be the jersey swaps and the social media and the cash, and not necessarily the winning and the opportunity to win. And I know that sounds incredibly crazy coming from a dude sitting in his home office who never played a down of football like that, like they have, obviously. But, you know, we love sports and we love it as entertainment, right? Like, we love sports. Sports is our entertainment. These guys are supposed to love it because they get to play a boys' game as a man and make millions of dollars doing it. They're supposed to love the sports so much and be appreciative of their opportunities. But nowadays, it seems like they just want to leverage their athletic talent, you know, for fame rather than because they really love the sport. And I know that's a bigger topic, and a lot of you guys might disagree with me, and that's fine. But, you know, you think about some of these social media stars that happen to be football players on the side, right, or happen to be basketball players. Like, I think the first time we saw this culture come home to roost was a few years ago in the NBA when Lonzo Ball, right, like, remember about the Ball brothers, they had their own shoe brand, they were going to be the next big thing, the dad was, you know, off the reservation, he was so crazy, and, you know, what the hell has Lonzo Ball done? I'm looking it up. I mean, is he still on the Bulls? Like, what's the deal? Like, I honestly forgot about this guy. So, he played for the Lakers for 17 to 19, then was with the Pelicans from 19 to 21, and has since played with the Bulls since 2021. And his career, I mean, games played was 52, 47, 63, 55, 35, and then last year he didn't even play. So, he had an injury in early 2022, and then he was out last season because of his knee injury. And then they don't expect him to play this year. All right, so, yeah, like, I mean, injury bugs happen, but, like, you know, this is exactly why maybe you achieve something in the league before you declare yourself a celebrity. Right? And Lonzo played at a time when all of this business stuff with amateur athletes was really controversial still. But I guess that's just my point, is what the heck is the goal here, right? Caleb Williams, it's not enough that he's achieved all those things that I listed out, right? Like, if any current athlete in sports wants to own a team in their own league, that, you know, we're crossing the Rubicon to a different world, all right? And meanwhile, like, Mahomes has ownership in the Royals or whatever, and he's going to be a gazillionaire when he retires. And, you know, you can do whatever you want after your money when you retire. Just recognize that the all-time greats right now, either it didn't work out for them or it's struggling to happen for them. And so if they're struggling to do it for a team they didn't play for after they've hung them up, then Caleb Williams needs a dose of reality check. And let's be honest. Let's be honest about it. I think Caleb Williams is all-world talent. There's so much hype around him right now. So much hype. Every year, they need to pick a guy with all the hype, and this is his year. But just know that the NFL is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately kind of league. And if he gets drafted somewhere, whether it's New England or anywhere else, Chicago, you know, New York Giants, wherever, and is expected to be the face of the franchise and the immediate savior, your expectations are going to need to be tempered. Because he's played in a weak-ass Pac-12, just throwing it out there. I mean, like, I know the Pac-12 is competitive. Like, I like Utah. Colorado, they've nosedived. We all saw that. You know, Washington and Oregon are very good. I don't even think USC's the fourth. They might be the fourth best team in their conference. In probably the fourth best conference in the FBS of the Power Five. So, I mean, let's be real about what he's achieved so far. I mean, great, we love Heisman Trophy winners. He's an amazing talent. But, and he's done a lot of things, but none of these things warrant an NFL ownership, and I think I'm preaching to the choir there. We'll see if they even warrant a lengthy NFL career. All right, moving on here, real fast. There's been a lot of talk about who's going to be the next Red Sox GM. At some point, either everybody is interested in declining because of family reasons, or this is all just smoke, you know, being blown up everybody's, you know what, you know, over the last couple weeks since the season ended because nothing else is there to talk about. I mean, I don't know how to pronounce her last name. I think it's Na, Kim Na from the Marlins was a big name everybody's talking about earlier in the week. Hasn't materialized. There's been all kinds of guys talking, being talked about, ranging from the Astros to the Indians to the Eddie Romero, who's the assistant GM. Craig Breslow's a name that's being brought up. But at some point, you know, one of these things is going to have to hit. I think Craig Breslow is probably the going favorite at the moment. But, I mean, I haven't yet come to a conclusion on, is this even a job people want? And number one. And number two, how true are these rumors? Because, like, there's nothing more of fool's gold than a baseball rumor. Remember when Aaron Judge was a San Francisco Giant? Remember that? Remember when, what was it, Carlos Correa was a San Francisco Giant? What was that other team he was going to go to? I cannot remember. But remember all those baseball rumors? They don't happen. Remember when A-Rod was a Red Sox? Right? Remember when Theo was leaving the Sox and then he came back like 60 days later? Like, none of this stuff is worth even talking about, in my opinion, until the pen is on the paper. Because how many times in your own life have you applied for a job and thought, oh yeah, you know what? You start picturing yourself in that job. You start thinking about, you know, where you would live, what you would do, what your commute would be like, you know, what kind of stuff you'd be doing, like, with your free time if you had it, as a result of maybe this career change. You know, would you be able to do something you used to not be able to do? Would you be using a skill you hadn't yet used? And you start picturing yourself in this job. Next thing you know, you don't, never even get an interview. Never even hear back from them. All you've done is put in an application. All right, that's how it works in the real world. Now magnify it because you're in professional sports, which, as I mentioned with the NFL, is a dog-eat-dog, what-have-you-done-for-me-lately kind of business. And, I mean, then you look around and you see that this is driven by rumors and drama. And the rumors and drama don't happen in our own lives. And the job search is super hard in the real world. In pro sports, there's media that care, there's fans that care, and there's other teams and competitiveness that you have to think about if the information's public. And so, in terms of what parts of this are true, I have no idea. And frankly, I would say that if you're a Red Sox fan, I would not get excited about anybody until the announcement has been made, because these things just do not happen. And I'd say the same thing about any trade rumor The Pats are rumored in between now and the end of the month. Same thing with the Bruins and the Celtics, as you know, their seasons start to unfold and we see who they are. Rumors are what they are. They're rumors. They're not real. Reports aren't always true, right? Like all these things, I don't have an appetite for them, because as much as they're fun to talk about on this podcast, if I start thinking about them too much in my real world life, like, oh yeah, I wonder who the next Red Sox GM is going to be, I'm going to naturally just be disappointed. Because right now I'd like for it to be Craig Breslow. Tomorrow they could hire Eddie Romero Jr. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how this goes. You know, for a couple hours, people were convincing me that Kim Nall was the person for the job. She might be. But I think she's going to go end up working for the league again. So, okay. There's not much you can do about that. So, just don't get too excited is my only warning. All right, last thing here, just as we're closing out the show. Talking to my friends yesterday, I realized, you know, there's some problematic food takes out there. Super problematic takes on food. Two simple questions started in a group chat. If you happen to be in that group chat and you're listening as a friend, thanks for listening. But also, don't take offense to any of this. Number one, I asked the question, McDonald's-style hash browns. So think about a McDonald's-style hash brown. Versus a country-style home fry. It's pretty much unanimous, except for me and Diesel, actually, that we wanted hash browns. It was a very hard decision, but everybody else went home fries. Here's the thing about home fries, all right? Just throwing it out there. Home fries have so much more of a margin for error to disappoint than a McDonald's hash brown. All right, McDonald's-style hash browns, the same wherever you get it, you can believe in it. And I'm not talking like the little ones that Dunkin' gives you and charges you $4 for. I mean like the big ones, the cylinders or whatever that shape is. Those are awesome. So much little margin for error. Home fries, if you're at like Waffle House or Denny's, you're probably going to be okay. Or, you know, your local mom-and-pop diner, yeah, you're going to be okay. But then there's some places where they're just downright dry, crunchy, and bad. Alright, so there's so much more margin of error there. That's why I gotta go home fries. I mean, excuse me, Freudian slip. That's why I gotta go hash browns. Alright, the other problematic food take is what's going on with the Thanksgiving slander really needs to stop. You know, like, Thanksgiving slander, come on. Give me a break with the Thanksgiving slander. In our group chat yesterday, we're talking about how 4th of July barbecues are better than Thanksgiving. I agree, like, on premise, that 4th of July barbecues, you know, you'd want to do that 3 or 4 times a year. You know, you think about Memorial Day weekend or Labor Day weekend or somebody's birthday or graduation party. That stuff is reliable all year long. Hot dogs, hamburgers, potato salad, and the rest. But that doesn't mean it's at the expense of hating on Thanksgiving food. Now, I know turkey ain't for everybody. But have you ever sat down on, like, Thursday night, Saturday morning, Friday afternoon, during Thanksgiving, and had a open-faced turkey sandwich with stuffing and gravy and some cranberry sauce on the side? Maybe some mashed potatoes or some squash. I mean, Thanksgiving food, that lasts you the whole weekend. You're slapping all weekend. You're loving it. You're buried in it. And I know turkey, depending on who's cooking it, right, can sometimes be dry, or some people don't like certain pieces of it, or whatever. But give me a break with the turkey slander. As much as I love, you know, 4th of July food, you know, there's a time and place for both. And that's all I'm going to say about that. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Home Field Advantage. Thanks for tuning in. and listening to us wherever you get your podcasts. No video today, some technical difficulties, but hope you joined us on your favorite audio platform. We'll be back Monday to break it all down. Chances are there's going to be another Patriots loss to have a therapy session about. And chances are there might even be some news on the Red Sox GM front. Some real news, by the way, not some rumors. But until then, hope you have a great rest of your week. Hope you're staying up late to watch the Bees. And I hope you have a chance to get some R&R this weekend. But until then, my name is Will Highland. You've been listening to Home Field Advantage. If you liked this podcast, please subscribe on your favorite provider, including Spotify, Apple, Google, and Stitcher. You could also listen to Home Field Advantage and Filling Up wherever you listen to podcasts. Home Field Advantage is now expanding to 2 days a week, Monday and Thursday. So we hope you all check us out there and follow us at Home Field Pod. All these programs on the Sportland USA Podcast Network are independent, and the thoughts and opinions expressed on them do not reflect those of any other company, outlet, person, or entity. Every Sportland USA program is an independent program, and the opinions expressed on them do not reflect those of any other company, outlet, person, or entity.